is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Russia in Syria. The question these last years has been how Russia in Syria complicates the defense of Israel and, in fact, the security of the whole region during the Syrian civil war. Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies joins me. Recently, he published with his colleagues an observation about what happens now with Russia redeploying its forces, a polite way of saying retreating from Syria and its commitment because of the catastrophe in the Ukraine war for all of Europe. What is to be done? Jonathan, a very good evening to you. These are moving parts. The Syrian-Israeli border has been a conflict zone for these last years in the Syrian civil war. Russia and Israel found a way to work together. I think they call it deconfliction. But now that Russia is departing, what does that mean for Israel, given the provocations that are commonplace in Syria? What does that mean for the Iranian bad actors who often are shipping weapons and personnel and sensors into Syria? Does it strengthen or weaken Israel's defense? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think all of this raises some interesting questions for the Israelis. There has been quite a lot of concern about what might happen if, for example, the Israelis had a mistaken altercation with the Russians, or that is perhaps if the Russians targeted Israeli aircraft with their advanced S-400 systems, that this could lead to an unwanted conflict with the Kremlin. Well, now it appears, it's not been confirmed, but it appears that Russia is set to redeploy some of those assets that might include some of those advanced anti-aircraft systems, which would give Israel greater freedom of action. I believe that the Israelis are looking at this perhaps as their greatest window to remove the Iranian threat from their northern border. What we know is that the Iranians have deployed militias across the country. They've deployed Hezbollah. They have IRGC commanders that are crawling all over the country. And they've tried to set up bases and assets of hardware for a potential conflict in the future with Israel. Israel now has potentially a window here to remove all of it. In other words, to go on the offensive, not fearing a conflagration with Russia, and really being able to clean house. Whether or not they're able to do that remains to be seen, but I believe this is what they are eyeing right now in Jerusalem.
You report in your Newsweek piece with your colleague Jacob Nagel that the defense minister in Israel is preparing for worst-case scenario, i.e. an attack by Iran, or it may become necessary to attack Iran preemptively. Is there something that's changed profoundly with Russia's departure? Is there a disturbance or some kind of inequality of imbalance of forces that's been introduced without Russia there?
Well, yes. The Russians have been coordinating with the Iranians. They are coordinating with Hezbollah. They're coordinating with the entire Iranian axis, let's call it. Without Russia there, there's very little risk for the Israelis to attack some of the strategic targets that I'm sure they've been eyeing for quite some time. The Iranians don't belong in Syria. Everybody knows this. And by the way, it's even been whispered that the Assad regime may not welcome the Iranians being there any longer. They have lost sovereignty. They have lost control of their own country. Of course, it was the Iranians and the Russians that enabled the Assad regime to stay there amidst the civil war. But I think they've worn out their welcome. And so it's possible that right now the Assad regime would welcome this. I think the rest of the Arab world undoubtedly would. Many Arab states have been trying to woo the Assad regime out of the clutches of the Iranian axis and back into the Arab world. So one gets a sense that the Israelis are smelling an opportunity here. They see with Russia's departure, with few military challenges in their way, that they could clean house on their northern border. And it has been a huge headache for the Israelis since, I guess, 2014, 2015 now. With Russia there, they call the Russians their northern neighbors. It's one of the reasons why the Israelis have not been able to criticize the invasion of Ukraine to the extent that they might have wanted to. So this could actually really help the Israelis on multiple fronts.
Does it free the Iranians for predation? Has Russia been a check on Iran's? Well, the braggadocio out of Tehran is unacceptable, but they've not acted upon these threats. Without Russia, can they now act upon them without paying a penalty?
Well, you have to remember that the Iranians have been getting beaten up in Syria, regardless of whether Russia is there or not. I mean, that's, you mentioned deconfliction. The Israelis continue to work with the Russians, letting them know that they're going into Syria to bomb weapons that are being smuggled into Lebanon, to take out sometimes Iranian senior targets, been colonels and generals that have been killed on the battlefield. The militias have been targeted. The bases have been targeted. So the war is already happening, as it were. I mean, we don't call it a war. The Israelis will call it an asymmetric campaign. But the fact is that the two have been slugging it out across the Middle East, but in particular in Syria. Yes, you will see an escalation if Russia leaves on both sides. But I believe that Israel has the advantage here, so long as Iran does not begin firing off longer range weapons at Israel from far flung places.
Just in case the map became too simple, let us introduce a puzzle. Recently, President Erdogan of Turkey has made it clear what he must win in order to accede to Sweden and Finland joining NATO. And some of that has to do with what he calls terrorism being shepherded in Sweden and Finland. Some of it has to do with weapon systems. But the puzzle here is, what part does Turkey play in Syria, with Russia leaving or with Russia contesting in Ukraine, and Turkey is part of the mix of the Black Sea Basin, whether there can or can't be warships? I can go through the list, but it's exhausting, Jonathan. Is Russia's departure in any way affecting Turkey's ability to work in the region?
Well, it is very interesting. I mean, first of all, you have Turks suggesting just within the last several hours that they may need to carry out some military activity to secure the Idlib corridor in Syria. The Turks continue to talk about their interests. They support a range of actors, including Islamist groups that have been tied to various jihadi causes. There are the Turkmen there as well. And so they're looking at this as potentially an opportunity for them to expand their presence. At the same time, though, I would say they're hedging their bets with the Russians and with the United States, encumbering the expansion of NATO and putting a check on U.S. designs to maybe exert a bit more leadership on the NATO front. But at the same time, they're not exactly telling the Russians that they've given up on them. They have not returned their S-400 system, which the Turks bought some time ago, to the consternation of the United States and NATO. So the Turks are doing what they always do, which is hedging in the region. But I think they smell some opportunity with the Russian departure, certainly in Syria. But I don't know if they've cast their lot yet with the West.
Do I remember correctly that Turkey is especially concerned about a military organization? I believe it's YPG. I'm sorry, the acronyms are not in front of me. And does Russia's departure give Syria more opportunity to attack across the border into it's the northeast part of Syria, I believe, that they that the YPG dominates?
Yeah, it's YPG and PKK. Those are the folks that Turkey is upset about, that Sweden and Finland are harboring, and they're giving them safe haven, and they consider themselves to be terrorists. That's essentially the crux of the NATO discussion. What Turkey sees as a potential threat from these areas in northern Syria, I can't quite say, but I do believe that Erdogan is playing with fire, opening up a new front while there is already a large war going on between Russia and Ukraine, and a shadow war going on between Israel and Iran, and a shadow war going on between the West and Russia. Challenges that we're seeing across the board with China and the West, one just gets a sense that the last thing that we need is yet one more military operation in a war-torn territory like Syria. I think this would be an historic mistake on the part of Erdogan right now. I don't think he has a strategy. I think he's jumping from crisis to crisis, and this is not a good time to be doing that.
I'm speaking with Jonathan Shanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, also the author of Gaza Conflict 2021, Hamas, Israel, and 11 Days of War. 1 year ago, we're headed to a new threat from Hamas in these last days over Jerusalem Day. Here upon us. I'm John Batchelor.